All right, let's find ourselves in fellowship. And let's press on here with these first four verses as we break into this with a lot of information, I realize. We're on page four of your notes. And these verses from the idea is to orient people to the plan of God. And that is what Jesus is doing here. Obviously, the disciples will not pull it all together in their understanding for some time. Even after the resurrection, there will be things they're going to have to work with. And that is true. More revelation, more information. So as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left up on another which will not be torn down." Boom. Destruction. But Jesus isn't saying something that is not reflected. Well, he is here specifically. He's talking about the total annihilation of this temple down to the very foundation, the area where it was laid out. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Of course, James and John are brothers, and Peter and Andrew are brothers. He's got two sets of brothers here. We're questioning him privately. There may have been more filler about the not one stone left on top of another. The others catch ear of it. So they have time to kind of process this. And they don't act like they don't want to hear anymore. See, that's the difference. They've got a lot. They've got a big learning curve to come here, to get this figured out. Look at it from their perspective. They've got a big learning curve. This is all out in front of them. Tell us when these things will be. Now, in their minds, see again, the mindset of the disciples was that Jesus was going to set up the kingdom right then and there. That this was going to come real quick. They weren't the kind of students that understood this yet. That no, the kingdom and the coming of Christ and all of His glory and setting up the kingdom would be a big time elapse before this would happen. We're still in that time elapse. Tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled. Okay. We saw that a very strong expression is used here by Jesus with regard to the temple, what we call Herod's temple, what is called the second temple, but that isn't accurate. There were the temples that Jerusalem forgot after the Solomon temple. The temple was built after they came out of exile. What eventually happened there to a temple where it was defiled by pig's blood thrown in the most holy place by the maniac Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Greek, and it was during the Maccabean era. And the word is that they weren't going to rebuild. They weren't going to just go wipe the blood out. It was all for them. It was perfect. It was defiled, and it wasn't any good anymore. We have to start with a new one. So this worked its way down. And of course, there were improvements continually being made with regard to this temple that was in its full glory at the first advent. We'll be talking about another temple coming up too. We'll be talking about the next temple to be set up and the one that will serve the purposes of God for the tribulation. And it's a tribulational temple, but it'll have a very short history. And then there'll be another temple for the millennial phase. So there's a whole series of temples. But that's not here. Jesus does not specify the time or agent of the temple's destruction. But already before AD 70, it must have been obvious that the literal fulfillment of this prediction was only a matter of time. 34, it was remarkably literal. Josephus records the temple being leveled to the ground after being burned. So this backs up. This is going to be a very important point that a whole lot of people lost track of. And that brings us to point 35. The now sacred wall. You can go see it online. You can go watch. You can watch the. You can watch the Jews coming out and putting scripture, little scripture things, in the cracks of this wall, and doing this number. And you have to wear a little headgear if you're a visitor. On one side you have the that's when Brennan and I went there. One side the women go. We're close to each other, but we're segregated. Okay, we're socially distancing, and the men are over here. Okay, and you go and you went up to this wall. I believe we did that on that day. It was early, fairly early, not real early, but before noon, around nine. And then we went up on what they called the Temple Mount, where you've seen these aerial pictures. There's two mosques up there. There's the big one, the Dome of the Rock, that's got gold gilding all over it. Shines like crazy in the sun, as you'd expect. We went in there too. See? And there's a sacred rock, and all these people were bowing down and carrying on with this rock. Just ordinary, you know, looking Caucasians and everybody going, what's all this? You had to take your shoes off to walk in there. You had to put your shoes outside, walk on into this other one. Then there was another mosque further down this end, the other end. It was the less dramatic one. And we went up there. While we were going up there, there's a buddy got with microphones, and it was this Lama guy. What's his first name? Dalai Lama. There was this Dalai Lama, and they were interviewing him. He was out there too. So it was kind of a spectacle of stuff going on, you know, when we were there. But the wall. That they think is the part of the remains of that temple of the first advent, they are dead wrong. It's another mistaken identity of things that we find over and over in the scripture. The wrong Mount Sinai. The wrong location. They don't have it right. It's not in the Sinai Peninsula. It's in Saudi. It's a mountain in Saudi. I told you all about that. This is fun. And so in the book by Martin, The Temples at Jerusalem Forgot, he explains how they got to this point where they thought that this wall was a part of that original temple. And where everybody today, Christians, Jews, Muslims, everybody, they think this is where they said Muhammad ascended on a white charger to heaven from here. So they got their junk. They got all of it. So the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews, they don't have it right. They do not have it right. What did Jesus say? Not one stone left on top of another. Well, those stones are still there. So either that was a false prophecy, which it isn't, or the place was somewhere else. And it was. South of it. In the grassy area down there. That's where it stood. And it was forgotten. And eventually they adopted this. There's a lot of details about how this got in the mindset. Of course, new generations come on, they just buy what they heard from the last one. It's the way it always is. They hand this stuff down, and somebody comes along and says, whoops. Called a revisionist. Whoops. This doesn't fit. And it doesn't fit. Let's go on here. The now sacred wall, Wailing Wall. Not Wailing Wall from Monty Python. I had to throw that in. It's me. The now sacred wall was not part of the temple buildings, but rather is the remains of the Roman fort Antonia. The Romans had a fort there. It was self-contained. Had shopping, prostitutes, everything. Everything a Roman soldier would need. All in this compound. This is where they took Jesus and he appeared before Pilate. And that stone up there, that rough stone that they got protected with plexiglass or whatever all around it and everything, that stone is where Jesus stood before Pilate and was and subsequently scourged and all that. That's what that is. It's always nice to know what's going on. You know, when I did my tour of Jerusalem proper, the old city, not the new city, the old city, Charlie, my guide, nice Arab name, Charlie handed me off to a relative of his and said, and the relative says, "Do you want to see the fake tourist sites or the real ones?" I said, "I want to see both." I was just curious because they got some goofy stuff. Catholics are in there. They got stuff that they've thrown in over the years. But to make this clear, this is the Roman fort of Antonia. He didn't talk about it getting torn down. And it was just a jog from there to the temple proper. The Romans had to go down there periodically and, jog down there in their formations and put down riots and stuff going on in the temple. Some Jews got killed there. There was riots or various things. The Jews have the Romans have to keep order. They don't mind you worshiping whatever you want to worship. You just can't be involved in insurrection and various kinds of things. And they put this stuff down readily. So, if you go online and see this, because some people went online to try to see Brenda and I when we were out there. Back then, you could actually do that if you could catch it just right. Of course, you had to be up at 2 in the morning to see us over there at 9 in the morning, whatever. So, anyway. The geographical orientation with the genitive absolute, verse 1 to the genitive absolute of verse 3, with Jesus going out from the temple and sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, has two verses, closely linked to verses 1 and 2 again. Jesus is facing west as the sun is going down, late afternoon, on the same day, Wednesday. This is Wednesday of Passion Week. Friday, he would be crucified. And you'll notice how Jesus knows all this stuff's coming upon him, and he just carries on. He just carries on with what he's got to do that day. Tomorrow will take care of itself. A good admonition for all believers. Worrying about what's coming and what's out there does you no good. God will take care of you and make provision for you on what the future holds. Concern yourself not with tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough evil of its own. Just deal with the day. The 30th of November. The 29th of November. All right. The Mount of Olives is mentioned not only because it was the natural route to Bethany, but because of its messianic implications, as I told you. That is the place from which he made his final ascension. See the doctrine of the ascensions, I said plural, of Christ. He made two. I don't know many people that teach that. I could be wrong. He made two ascensions. The first one was from the center of the earth, where he took all the souls of all the Old Testament saints and led captivity captive. They're captives down there. People in heaven are captives. They're happy campers or captives. But they're captives. They can't say, "I want to go over here back to the earth," unless there's some special exception. So basically, they're captives. Well, we're all captives on this earth. Contrary to what they say, we can run all over out there. We cannot. We're captives. That must tick them off. We're captives. So he led captivity captive. He took all these souls in his resurrection body and took them all the way to the third heaven and put them in the throne room up there. And that's the first human beings that were ever in heaven. So now, when believers die, they go directly there. So he took everybody from Adam and Eve to Abraham, you name it, and millions of others. That must have been a very impressive event. Bam! The only thing in heaven was the father figure on the throne and the angels that come and go. They're there. Now there's humans. Human souls with whatever they put them in, know, that's, anyway, that's his first ascension. He left there immediately. He did not sit at the right hand. And it's in the Psalms what the Father said to him on the two occasions of the two ascensions. It's right there, what the words out of the Father's mouth. You know, this is what you call rightly dividing the word of truth, comparing scripture with scripture, getting all the data, getting it out there, and putting it like it's supposed to be. So this plan really fits together beautifully. It's got all these details. We still work on those things. So, also is because it is the place where, according to Ezekiel 11:23 again, God paused, stopped after abandoning the temple. The Shekinah glory left. Remember that in the most holy place, the three basic compartments of the temple, the most innermost sanctum, where the Ark of the Covenant was, in the temples, the Ark of the Covenant. I have a deal up here. Show it's the gold covered rectangular, looks like some kind of a piece of furniture, but it's got poles through it so it could be transported properly, and it had a lid on it with some cherubim facing down on the top of that mercy seat, where the priest put blood on once a year, dropped blood on it. Inside were three items. The tablets of the law that Moses brought down in the second group, he smashed the first ones, he got a second set, brought it down, and it's in there. Aaron's rod that budded. Remember when there was contest about who's the high priest, and Aaron, and they threw their rods on the ground. Aaron threw his, and this dead walking stick produced white almond flowers. It's a miracle. They put it in there, and the flowers didn't dry up like our flowers always do around here, no matter how much water you put on them. They stay pristine through the centuries. And a gold pot with some of the original manna in it. Well, that stuff wasn't going to keep overnight usually. Max, 2 days. So there was some fresh manna in there from the Exodus wanderings. And all those things, typologically, the ark speaks of Christ, and in him he kept the law. He is the resurrection, the pole with the flowers on. And he is the source of spiritual life, spiritual food, manna. In him is the truth. Outside him, forget it. So, it's just... The word opposite, in addition to providing a note on location, may also be intended to convey the idea over against what he had just walked away from, an opponent. 41, this is the only place where Andrew joins the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. 42, the subject of the singular imperative, indicative, or questioning must have been Peter's functioning as spokesman. Perhaps the other three were in collaboration with Peter. 44, Peter and Andrew were brothers, as were James and John. 45, the fact they questioned Jesus privately, kat idion, does not mean that the other disciples did not gather around, as this is a lengthy discourse. So he didn't just give it to these and let the others not hear it. The question posed is twofold. The first part, when will these things be, is related to the prediction of the destruction of the temple. They're asking, when will these things be? When will this happen? It didn't look like anything like that was on the horizon. But in 37 years, the situation had so degenerated on the ground with regard to the Jews and the rejection of Christianity after that, the Christians, and their persecution and their continued antagonism led by the religious hierarchy, the religious people, the priests, the Pharisees and all. But Jesus had already given the believers living. See, you remember after the church continues to go on, the first church, the first local assembly, the first church was in Jerusalem. And then churches sprung up all around in Judea. And they were in the area of called Israel at the time, Judea, the Roman designation of the territory, Judea, where the Romans had established their authority and took in certain rights away from the Jews, the right to do capital punishment. So when they murdered Stephen, they violated that. Just an illustration. Jesus in Luke 21 informs believers through that information that when you see certain things happening, you need to relocate. Means you need to find another country. Period. When you see the Roman legions marshaling up, because there would be a revolt on the part of certain Jews. There would be a revolt. And when you see the movement of the Roman, that takes some time. These legions coming together. Get out of the country or you will be caught up in this. So there was a safety hatch for believers. Just like after we're out of here, Americans will be given the gospel and they will be told to relocate. You go to the country, pick a country, go there, or you will die in the Holocaust. Come out from her, my people, and do not be a partaker in her judgment. I'm paraphrasing. You've got to know the Word of God and know where you need to be. Now, today, it's not complicated. You just stick with your local church, your pastor, teacher, and follow that example and stick with it. I know people don't like to hear this. Some of us do. Some of us really like to hear it. And the fact that we're getting out of here real quick, time-wise. I'm saving that for what's coming up here. We just got in the intro here. When will these things be? Is related to the prediction of the destruction of the temple, because it is the subject of Old Testament prophecy. Even in the book of Daniel, it's in Daniel 9 that the Messiah would come. He would be cut off, have nothing. In other words, he wouldn't be the received Messiah of the Jewish people, and the destruction that would follow. Of course, the instrument that God used was the obvious instrument. That was the world power at the time of the birth of Christ and all the way to the end of his life and onward, the Romans. Out of Rome. The frame of reference of the questioners conflates the two advents. They don't... I skipped a point. The second part, what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled, has reference to the second advent. That's way down the line, as it would turn out. It's still future from us. Because remember, their mindset. They don't have this understanding that you're supposed to have about the coming of Christ and the events, the onset of the day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation preceding the second advent, marked on both ends by Christ appearing and bringing the church out of here, and then Christ coming back after 7 years and setting up the kingdom, etc., etc. But we do. We got that figured out. Remember, they were holding to the erroneous notion that Jesus was going to set up the kingdom then and there. And they just wouldn't let that go until circumstances came and they forced their hand and they dropped that. They allowed for an unspecified time interval, albeit sometime in the very near future. Only in Luke's account of this discourse is there an answer to the first part of the question. Luke 21, and I got ahead of myself. Luke 21, as I like to add, the only Gentile writer of Scripture. And boy, was he a good one. All the rest of the books of the Bible are written by Jews. Starting with Moses' books all the way through. We got Luke. Luke's a Greek. And he wrote this book and Acts and possibly Hebrews. That was based on people's doing an analysis of word constructions and vocabulary, which I don't have, which I've read. It's been a while. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize her destruction is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these days are days of vengeance, so all things which are written will be fulfilled. Now there's parallels, there's an overlap, there's kind of a parallel with from that and what Jews are going to have to do in Jerusalem when they see a certain event occur. And it isn't armies gathering. It's putting in that trib temple that's yet to be built in a big hoopla celebration in at the midpoint of the tribulation, where they set up in the temple yet to be built. It's not just on the drawing board. They get the green light for this thing. It's going up fast. We've had two world leaders speak favorably of having it done. Trump and Putin. Whoa! What is that about? Both of them. They're not, don't do that. And they'll probably build it in that place where it's the, you know, they'll probably tear down the Dome of the Rock or whatever happened to it. It's going to go by the wayside. But they have, it's called the Temple Mount Institute. We went into their offices, but we must have went at the wrong time because nobody was there. We just walked in, nobody's here, so we left. But they have researched everything they need, for the clothing, to the musical instruments, to all of the paraphernalia necessary to replicate the temple that we're looking at here that got destroyed, with some modern touches. Because you know, you're doing animal sacrifices again in a modern world. Imagine this today, and not someone back in some dark hole in the earth. These people are doing animal sacrifices out front. All these animal rights people running around, they're going to be doing animal sacrifices. Well, that you got to have a way to dispose of all that blood and guts, so to speak. And you have to have it efficient and clean. And these guys are in white outfits and all the rest of it. So anyway, they're ready to go. They've replicated the exact musical instruments and everything. Well, at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist defiles, it's called the abomination of desolation, and sets up his idol in the most holy place of the Trib Temple. And this is not a stone idol. This is some kind of a cyborg super thing that can talk and speak and process information and will be the spitting image. I've seen some of the cruder ones, like Japanese did a lot of work in it. Japanese females, models, modeling clothes. Of course, they'd speak and it was kind of wooden and everything. Creepy too. Yeah, they've got these kind of things out there. That's a part of the last days. Knowledge will increase, and it'll be a technological explosion, and a lot of it used for evil. Transhuman, part human, part biological. I'll pass. Now. So that was the Luke one. These two verses relate to the fall of Jerusalem in the year 68 through 70. 70 was when it was concluded. The war started in 68, and it was a two-year war. 68 AD, of course, was the year Paul and Peter died. As the mention of Israel's dispersion among the nations is not going to happen during the seven-year tribulation. Also, Luke does not make mention of the abomination of desolation placed in the temple, as do Matthew and Mark. So you have to kind of conflate and put these in parallel columns to get the whole story. Each writer was led to do what he did. All right. I'm going to stop here. And who's ever doing this, we'll get the next segment of verses ready for you for Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, continue to build us up in understanding of these matters. In Christ's name, amen.